Hello and welcome to another Texans Talk podcast. I'm your host of the day, Anthony Wood, and with us today we've got quite the plethora of guests. We have sections from our interviews recently with Hall of Fame running back LaDainian Tomlinson and recent Super Bowl winning running back Jay Ajayi. We've also got a full interview with Texans return specialist DeAndre Carter and with ESPN fantasy football expert Mike Clay. So let's start off today with our sound bites. First of all, let's start off with Hall of Fame running back LaDainian Tomlinson, who spoke about his expectations for this Texans offense and run game.
How do you feel about their running back situation with Lamar Miller and Dante Foreman? What do you think about that?
Well, I tell you what, it's interesting because you have two different runners, but both runners have been injured at different times. Lamar has been a little bit more healthy, you know, throughout his career, but he has been banged up from time to time. And he has needed help in the backfield, someone to help him carry that load. I'll tell you what, Foreman, you know, I liked him coming out of Texas. I really liked his skill set. I thought he can be like a, you know, great banger type of guy and really kind of come in even in 4 minute and goal line situations and really nailing, you know, the ball in there in end zone. But, you know, at the end of the day, he has to prove that he can stay healthy. Absolutely. And if he can do that, I think we'll see the talent. But I wouldn't be surprised if they add another running back.
No.
I think that's one of the things that they're probably looking at going into training camp, and certainly as they start to play games.
Certainly, and they brought in a couple, Crane Higdon and Damari Crockett. I know a lot of fans are interested in looking at that, so fingers crossed one of them turns out. But
well, maybe, you know, who knows? Duke Johnson is unhappy.
Exactly. So we can only hope, right? Maybe O'Brien is GM, who knows?
Yeah.
What do you think about the Texans offense as a whole then with Hopkins obviously playing at the level he is, Watson playing at the level he is? I mean, what do you think?
You know, I really feel if they can get a stable running game, like, they're going to be one of the best offenses in football, because Deshaun now has another year where he's healthy, you know, and he can really focus on him. And I had an opportunity to talk to Deshaun a couple of months ago. We both went into the Boys and Girls Hall of Fame, you know, in Houston. And he looked in great shape, and he said, man, that's the one thing that I'm so, you know, happy with, that this time I'm healthy and I can just focus on getting better. And when Deshaun says that, as talented as he is, I just think, you know, he's going to light it up. And the offense is going to follow him.
Certainly, certainly. And finally, have you ever thought, obviously, you have a rapport with the kids here and you obviously enjoy coaching all these kids. Have you ever thought about heading into coaching?
Absolutely not.
No?
No. No. No, it's just, you know, coaches, I respect their grind. They spend a lot of time away from home. You know, I would spend enough time away from home. If I went home and told my wife that I was going to be a coach, she would probably divorce me. So.
Great to speak to LaDainian there. Now let's move on to our brief interview the other day with Jay Ajayi at his training camp in Frisco, Texas, nearby. He spoke of the Texans and how he feels about what he could bring to their locker room should they decide to give him a chance.
Yeah, this is the second Jay Ajayi football camp. We're doing it here. It's my first time doing it here at Liberty High School, where I grew up and went to school. So it was just an amazing event. You know, we want to thank Raising Cane's. They helped sponsor us. And, you know, it's just awesome time to bring the kids out, get them off the couch, off Fortnite, and just, you know, playing football around other kids and just having some fun.
How's it feel having such a good turnout here?
Oh, this is amazing. There's way more people than came last year, so it's very exciting just to see all the support, you know, and even for me, like, as of right now, like, still with the uncertainty and not being on the team, to still have this support, you know, it's amazing. So shows just like the hometown love from all the people around.
So what are you hoping the kids get out of today in particular?
Just anything? Have fun, you know. I mean, it's a hot day, but we just want them to have fun, burn out their energy, and just compete, you know. That's what it's all about, competing.
Yeah. What does it mean to give back to the area that you went to school in?
This is amazing, because you really never know what your seeds are doing and you know, you never know what this camp can do for that kid later down the road in life. He can always remember that he was at that football camp and that made him want to be a football player or whatever. You know, you never know what these little things can do, so it's just a cool little thing to bring for the kids and just, you know, have fun and compete.
again. Absolutely. So do you think you've seen any potential NFL stars in the making?
Definitely. I've seen some good. I've seen a center with some great leverage already. You know, I've seen some good receivers, some quarterbacks that are showing up. So I was just telling my boy that it's really interesting that at this young age you can still see it. Like, there's kids that have that skill already, and it's like if they can hone it, hopefully they can really be special. So it's kind of cool to see that as well in the camp.
So a couple questions on the NFL Academy. Obviously, you're heavily involved in that. How much of an impact do you think that's going to have on football in the UK and getting players out of the UK and over here?
I think it's going to be huge. I think one of the biggest things for them is just having a resource to now put the kids in and give them a space where they can compete against other kids and hone their craft. And that's a big thing that they were missing in London for a long time. And so now that they have that, with the backing of the NFL and as well as the ambassadors, I think that it's going to be a great program. I'm excited to see down the road, you know, who ends up coming out of that program and, you know, making it into
the
NFL.
Since you left the UK, how much do you think the game has grown from what you've seen?
Oh, it's been amazing. I mean, from when I was there, I didn't know a thing about NFL. There was not really much. So now you've got Tottenham Stadium that they've made as the default NFL stadium for over there. And then they have like 8 games now from the previous of 2 when they first started. So it's just growing and it's just showing they sell out every game. So it just shows that London loves the game and everyone's coming out and supporting. And it's growing in England.
So I've got a couple quick questions about the Texans, if I may. Obviously, you grew up in Texas. What would it mean for you to play for a team like Houston?
I mean, it would be interesting, you know, to come back to Texas. Obviously, my family's here. And, you know, right now, looking for a team that's a great team, you know, with a lot of great talent. So, you know, that would be an interesting thing if I was able to come back and play on a Texas team where my parents and family can easily come and support, you know, at any time.
What do you think you'd add to their backfield?
Oh, I just know, you know, as a player, I'm a dynamic player, I believe, competitive. I bring a spark to the game and, you know, I love to win. So that's what I'm all about.
And finally, obviously, as an Arsenal fan yourself, I mean, what will it be like for you if you have to walk out in the Tottenham Stadium?
I've always been telling people that if we do end up going to Tottenham and I have to play there, I'm going to definitely have some Arsenal gear or something like to Jay troll. I'm definitely troll in there for sure.
Oh,
so
definitely.
That's definitely what's going to happen.
Jay, thanks very much for speaking.
Yeah, cheers.
It's been a pleasure. Cheers, man.
Always good to speak to Jay there. Now we move on to the first of our interviews for the day. We've got DeAndre Carter, Texans return specialist and wide receiver. So DeAndre, thank you very much for agreeing to speak to us. So first of all, how pleased are you that the Texans brought you back this offseason?
I was really excited about it. Got here in the middle of the year last year, really meshed with the locker room really well, the guys in the locker room. Love the city out here, love the team. I was really excited when they brought me back.
So you arrived, as you mentioned, obviously mid-season. You arrived in November in Houston. How hard was it settling in for you in the middle of a campaign?
Yeah, I mean, it can be difficult, you know, just having to move, you know, to a different state and all that. And then when you get here, having to learn a new playbook and mesh with the guys. But I think here in Houston, you know, we got a lot of things in place that helped that transition go real smoothly. It wasn't too bad. You know, got on the playbook pretty quickly and, you know, just tried to come in and help where I could.
So which players really stood out to you upon your arrival in Houston?
Stood out to me? I'd say Deshaun Watson. You know, obviously watched him, you know, while he was in college, you know, coming up through Clemson and everything. But getting here and, you know, seeing his work ethic, his day-to-day, was really impressive to me. Him and I would say on defense, Justin Reed, you know, he was a rookie last year, but carried himself like a vet. And, you know, you could see that through his play on the field.
And any of these players in particular, whether it's Reed or Watson or anyone else, was there anyone that really took you under their wing to help you settle down when you first got there?
I think it was more, you know, the entire locker room kind of embraced me and helped me, you know, get comfortable, get acclimated with, you know, how things was running here in Houston. I wouldn't say it was one player in particular. I think it was just the entire locker room, you know, guys from every position group helped me do that.
So heading into your first full year with the Texans, is there a moment from the 2018 campaign that really stands out to you from your time in Houston?
Stood out to me. I mean, winning the AFC South Championship was, you know, a big moment for our program for last year. It was a great time for us in the locker room. getting into the playoffs. You know, obviously we want to, you know, perform better when we get to the playoffs and, you know, get some wins there. But I would say winning the AFC South was a big moment for us.
So you must be, is it slightly nerve-wracking heading into your first training camp, your first full summer in Houston? Is that heat going to get to you, do you think?
I mean, I'm out here, you know, training and working in right now, you know, trying to get used to it. You know, working out and playing football is not really the same thing, but I think I'll be real good with the heat, you know, being able to handle it.
It definitely takes some getting hydrated. Yeah, it definitely takes some getting used to, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does, definitely.
So looking ahead, what have you focused on improving this offseason in particular?
I think, you know, as a player, you always got to try to improve all aspects of your game. Me specifically, you know, being that I came in the middle of the season last year, knowing the playbook, you know, like the back of my hand. So when I'm going out to get ready for the play, you know, I can focus on identifying the defense, the coverage, instead of, you know, not necessarily worrying about running the play correctly, you know, because I already know it. That was one thing I focused on this offseason. Just as a player, just overall, you know, route running techniques, speed, agility, quickness, all those things that will help me in my punt return game as well. You know, kind of focus on all those things.
Is it difficult for a player as versatile as yourself to prepare, considering that obviously last season we saw you as a return specialist and a receiver? Is there, do you have to really find a balance for preparing for each position, or does it all sort of come into its own when you're actually on the field? Does the preparation not matter too much? Does it all sort of go hand in hand?
Yeah, I mean, the preparation definitely matters. You got to approach it. You know, special teams, punt return, kick return, it's, you know, a different phase in offense. It's kind of a different mentality as well. So, I mean, I would say through the preparation, you know, I think it's important to, whether you're watching film at that time or at whatever time you're watching film, if you're going to focus on special teams, you know, for that hour, focus on special teams. If you're going to step away and focus on offense, playing receiver, you know, put all your attention to that, and whichever aspect of the game you are, you know, studying at that moment. I think it's kind of just being locked in, including to, you know, to where you're at, what you're focusing on right now.
Absolutely, and obviously last season you had the likes of, obviously you got Hopkins, Demaryius Thomas, obviously alongside you. How much was it? What was it like having the help of Wes Welker last season, and obviously Andre Johnson this year? What's it like having legends like them around you, helping you improve?
It's great, man. It's great. You know, especially, you know, for me last year, you know, it was a treat for me to be able to sit, you know, sit in the meeting room and pick Wes's brain, or out on the practice field and, you know, ask Wes, you know, how he would run certain routes, how he would attack certain coverages, you know, because for a large part, you know, he kind of paved the way for a lot of, you know, undersized slot guys, you know, like myself. And so just being there and him playing in a similar system when he was playing, you know, helps me out a lot, you know, because he's got a lot of knowledge about the position and as well as the scheme. You know, and being able to set different defenders up different ways depending on what route you're running. It was definitely a big help for me. And then even this year, you know, with, you know, Andre Johnson helping out, you know, he's a bigger body receiver. So, you know, he's been kind of helping me, you know, on how to use my body to get open, you know, instead of always relying on my speed and my quickness.
Absolutely, and I'm sure, well, I know all Texans fans out there are very much looking forward to seeing Andre Johnson as a coach, of course, with the Texans. So does having the likes of, obviously, looking at your teammates now, does having the likes of Watson and Hopkins playing alongside you, does that really push you to help you improve?
Yeah, definitely. When you got, you know, DeAndre Hopkins in the same meeting room, same locker room, on the same team, you know, arguably the best receiver in the league, that's definitely going to push you. You know, I think if you play football or any sport, you should always try to be the best. And what better way to get that and see the best route to get there than to study and watch, you know, one of the best in the game every single day. So having, you know, DeAndre in the room with us definitely helps me, definitely pushes me, you know, to bring my game to another level. And then especially with, you know, with Deshaun Watson too. You know, he's a, you know, upcoming quarterback in this league. He's had a couple of good seasons here. He's building on it, and we just want to do our part, you know, to, you know, help push his legacy, to help, you know, get wins and get this team to where we know we could be at the end of the season.
So what kind of leader is Watson when it comes to the locker room? I mean, is he vocal in how he wants things executed or improved, Paul, or is he more of a quiet sort of sit down next to you and talk to you privately kind of guy?
I think it's a little bit of both. I think it depends on who he's talking to, you know, the player, and on the situation. You know, I think, you know, we work through the certain kinks. If it's, you know, little details that we need to hammer out, you know, sometimes they'll put you to the side, like, you know, I want you to run like this, I want you to run like that, you know, based on this coverage. You know, but if he has to, you know, get vocal, he's not afraid to do that either. So I think he's got a little bit of both.
And do you see your role in the locker room changing now as well? Obviously, now that you're one of the more experienced players in the locker room, as they've got a very young wide receiver group, do you see yourself becoming a bit more of a mentor? Do you get the younger players coming up to you and asking you questions at all?
Yeah, definitely. You know, me, you know, it's kind of a new thing for me, you know, going into my fifth year. I've been, you know, been in the league for a little bit now, but, you know, just helping the young guys, you know, in our room, the rookies that came in. We had a lot of rookies last year going into their second year this year, you know, they're on the team. You know, for me, just being around, you know, seeing football in the league, you know, for going on five seasons, just being able to help, you know, anybody that needs help, or if I see something that I feel like a player can improve on, you know, just being able to go up to them and, you know, help them with whatever it is that I see. It's definitely, I feel like it's a leadership role that I'm trying to step into, and I look forward to embracing it.
And do you ultimately think, obviously you mentioned that you spent time at different teams around the league, do you think that really helped you in the long run? Do you think having exposure to different systems and different coaching, do you think in the long run that's going to benefit you?
Yeah, I think it will a lot. You know, you go around the league and you see how different teams and organizations, you know, run their programs, and you see how some successful teams do it, and you know, you kind of try to remember those things and try to apply it to the situation that you're currently in. So, you know, I've been around, I've been a part of some really good teams, and, you know, just being able to take, you know, the good things from each organization and try to, you know, add it to what I know to help our team win, some I definitely think is a benefit.
So we mentioned, obviously, that there are quite a few young players in this squad. Have any of the rookies so far, obviously we haven't seen too much of them, but have any of them really stood out to you so far?
Yeah, I think we got a pretty good rookie class. We got Titus, you know, that we drafted on the O-line, had a pretty good spring. All the receivers, rookie receivers that we brought in had pretty good springs. Everybody. I don't want to, you know, single one out or anyone out, but we got a real good rookie class. I'm excited to see what they do coming up in the camp.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sure everyone out there can agree with you on that. So finally, what are your personal goals for this season looking forward?
Me personally, you know, I go out and, you know, do whatever the coaches ask me to do, you know, to go out and get wins. You know, my team, I mean, my goal is to help our team win Super Bowl, which every team is. And that's my goal. You know, go out and make plays, contribute to help us get wins, as many wins as possible.
Absolutely. And one quick question to close out. I like to throw off my guests a little bit with the last question. By going slightly off topic, you could say. So, finally, we've seen this beer-chugging fad pass around the league from quarterback to quarterback. Lots of offensive linemen getting into it as well. Is there one teammate of yours that you think would be best at this? Who would you back most in that Texans locker room to win at this?
I'm going to go Nick Martin, our center. Yeah, I'm going to go Nick Martin. I think he could throw it back, you know, pretty easily.
Absolutely. The big offensive linemen do seem to be very good at it. DeAndre, thank you very much.
No doubt. Thank you for having me on. Appreciate you.
Thank you very much for speaking to us. It's been a real pleasure to hear from you, and good luck this year. We're all going to be looking out for you.
Thank you. Appreciate you.
Great to speak to DeAndre there. Now we move on to our final interview of the day with Mike Clay of ESPN. Mike is a fantasy football expert, and he has given us all the advice we could possibly need heading into this season.
Thanks for having me on.
Thank you very much for joining us. I mean, let's be honest. There's not a lot of football news going on, but there's always time for a little bit of fantasy, and I know everyone's very much looking forward to a new season kicking off. So with that in mind, let's go from position to position if we can. Let's start off with quarterbacks. Obviously, there's no debating who's going to be Houston's starter come week one. So what are your expectations for Watson this year?
pretty high, honestly. In terms of fantasy, the only guy I have ahead of him is, of course, Patrick Mahomes, and I think it's closer than people realize. I mean, Watson obviously was outstanding with his legs last season, putting up 550-plus yards. I believe he had 5 rushing touchdowns. And also was pretty effective with his arm as well. I mean, we saw the offensive line kind of cause a whole bunch of sacks, and it really cost them from turning a lot of scoring opportunities into touchdowns. They settled for a ton of field goals, as you know. So, you know, I think with some young guys on that line, maybe it's a little bit better this season. Maybe they turn some of those field goals into touchdowns, and he could take it to another level. Honestly, I feel like there would have been more hype for Watson if not for Patrick Mahomes. He kind of stole the show last year, but Watson really had a terrific first full season in the NFL.
Absolutely. I think a lot of people forget that this was only his first year in the NFL at the end of the day. I mean, yes, he had obviously the previous campaign, but he only played, I think he started 6 games, played in 7. So this was, he's got a full season under his belt now, and he's got a full off season where he's healthy as well, which I'm sure is going to help him. So how much do you think, obviously, the revamped offensive line, and how much do you think that's all going to help him overall? Because we can only hope he won't get 62 sacks again this year.
Yeah, exactly. He's taking a beating. That was most in the NFL last season, those 62 sacks. So I'm intrigued by the offensive line. I mean, it's really going to depend on if they get any contributions from the rookies, of course. But, you know, you bring in a lot of options, right? There's going to be a pretty healthy competition. And honestly, they might have some decent depth, right? With, you have Matt Khalil, and you have Tyus Howard, and you have Davenport competing. And Central Henderson, who's barely played the past 2 seasons, is in there. Sharping, who they took in the 2nd round. Maybe they kick him into guard in the short term. So, you know, it's going to be interesting, and it's hard to kind of project who's going to play where because there's so many bodies competing, especially at tackle. But I do think it'll be an improved group from next season. And again, if he gets a little bit more time back there, that's going to be great news for this offense.
Absolutely. I think it's safe to say it can't be much worse of a group. Let's be perfectly honest. I think one person, as you mentioned before, Kamie Fairbairn, the kicker, obviously he was the highest scoring player in the NFL last year. Perhaps he may suffer as a result this year. He will undoubtedly be scoring less field goals, I think it's safe to say, if that line can improve. But I definitely think he's someone that's still worth a look at.
Yeah, no doubt. I still think he'll have a terrific season. I think he'll get probably fewer field goal opportunities. I'm looking here now. He had 42 attempts last year. I have him at 34, so 8 fewer. It's still a lot, but definitely a step back last season. Hopefully he'll be trying some more extra points as opposed to field goal.
We can only hope. So how up do you think you would be personally willing to draft Watson? How up do you think you should go for him?
Well, again, he's my QB2, but I'm generally going to wait at the quarterback position. He's one of those guys I might try to strike on if he falls a little bit. But right now he's going in the 7th round of 12-team leagues. So I would say kind of in that range is fair. I'm not sure if round 7 I'm going to pounce on a quarterback. Again, you're looking at guys like Darrell Henderson and Latavius Murray and Rashad Penny and Marvin Jones, Will Fuller, Dante Pettis. Guys like that are going in that range. Some good tight ends as well, like a Jared Cook. So I'm not sure I would strike on a quarterback at that spot, but, you know, I'd be pretty pleased if Watson was my quarterback this year.
Absolutely. So if we can move on to the running back situation, obviously Houston has a clear starter there with Lamar Miller. I mean, do you think he's going to have another 1,000-yard season, or do you think he might drop off yet, considering that we've got Dante Foreman coming back and there's a couple of undrafted free agents as well? What are your expectations for Miller?
Yeah, I think he's not what I hoped he would be when he left Miami and went to Houston, for sure. I think most would agree with that. I think you're going to start seeing Dante Foreman kind of catch him a little bit and maybe take on a little bit more of that workload. I actually have Miller with 209 carries this season. I have Foreman with 140. So I do not have Miller going over 1,000 yards rushing. I do have him over 1,000 yards from scrimmage. But again, I think that gap's going to kind of close. And, you know, we'll see if Foreman's up to the task. If he's not, it's going to be the Miller show again. But, you know, I like Foreman. He's still a very young player. He had that injury, fought his way back. And he seems to be in the good graces of the coaches finally. So I do expect him to make an impact this season.
He does. And I mean, everyone's been going on about how well he's turned up this offseason, how good a shape he's in. He said himself he's in the best shape he's been, full stop, even in comparison to college. So fingers crossed we get some good production out of him, because he certainly looked good his rookie year before his injury. So as a result, how high would you be willing to take Miller? And do you think Foreman is someone you would look out for either late on or perhaps in the waiver wire?
Miller, I have RB30 right now. He's going in the sixth round. Maybe that's about right. You know, that's about where he belongs in drafts right now, I think. And as Foreman, yeah, I view him. I have him RB43, so I like him as a late flyer. He's going in round 12 at this point, so that's a nice spot. I think if you can grab him in that range, in that 10 to 12 range, that's a great spot to take a shot. My worry with him in fantasy is, you know, much like a Chris Carson or Gus Edwards last year or, you know, Jordan Howard, you may not get the goal line, or you might not get the passing game work, excuse me. So, you know, if he ends up with 15 catches next season, that's going to be something that hurts you if you're starting him in fantasy. So that's something to keep in mind. Kind of limits his upside. But again, if he takes over lead back duties, or Miller gets hurt, or he's just the better rusher and gets 15 plus carries a game, he's going to, and goal line work, of course, he's going to be a pretty darn good fantasy asset. So definitely like him in the late stages.
Absolutely. And obviously you mentioned earlier, you mentioned one of the Texans wide receivers, Will Fuller. They've obviously got some good talent at wide receiver. Obviously we know what Hopkins can do, and I think it's safe to say most leagues will have him going in round one, if we're being perfectly honest. What do you think of this Texans wide receiver group with QT and Fuller back as well? Do you think Hopkins is going to lose out on some targets, and how do you feel about those other two receivers?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough to predict behind DeAndre Hopkins. I mean, you know what he is. He's a stud. I think his targets will be down a little bit this season just because you have more guys they can throw the football to, and assuming Fuller and QT are healthy for most of the season.
Yeah.
But the trouble is figuring out who to go with. Like, if you're on the clock in fantasy, do you take Fuller or do you take QT? You know, I think we've seen more from Fuller so far in terms of what he offers, but he also can't stay on the field, and that's been a big problem. In fact, you know, he hasn't. I just did an article recently over at ESPN on this, and in terms of breakout age for wide receivers in the NFL. And, you know, Will Fuller is one of them guys that, you know, the numbers say he's not going to pan out because he hasn't reached that 150 point season yet. But, you know, he may be the exception. There's always exceptions. Maybe he's that guy, because you look at his per play production last season, and he was well on his way to being a top 15 fantasy receiver.
Yeah.
And that's been the story throughout his career. So a lot of upside there. He's definitely worth a shot in the middle of your draft. And QT, I mean, it's just a matter of volume last year. I mean, how often do you see a mid-round wide receiver come in and get 15 targets in 7, 5, 9, 14? I mean, 10 per game? Are you kidding me? That was crazy. Almost 30% of their targets. That's DeAndre Hopkins-like usage right there, a little bit below that. So, you know, he's interesting for sure. I liked him coming out. He had some very productive Texas Tech seasons at a young age. So he's a really intriguing prospect. But right now, you know, I have QT with more catches, 10 more catches than Fuller. I have Fuller with more yards. Obviously, they're used a little bit different and similar in the touchdown department. So if I had to pick one, I would lean a little bit towards Fuller, but it's close. It's a tough call.
It certainly is, because there's upside to both of them, if we're being perfectly honest. Obviously, you mentioned Fuller's injury history. It's been a real shame to see that happen, because, as you mentioned, he's been so productive when he's on the field. He looks absolutely fantastic. He's just one of the best deep threats I think you could want opposite someone like Hopkins. He's got speed to burn. It's brilliant to watch. But then, obviously, he's had these just horrendous knee injuries coming back again and again. And then looking at QT, obviously, he had the hamstring injury all of last year. It's a bit of a concern. They did say that he hasn't had any injury issues during his time at Texas Tech, so perhaps it was just a one-off. He says he's feeling good. He also said he's having to think less now when he's running through his route, so we might see an even better QT this year, and I only hope that we do. But should we have another injury issue with either of the two of them, particularly Will Fuller, do you think that perhaps someone like Vincent Smith is someone that we should be looking out for in the waiver wire a couple weeks in?
I don't think so. I think he'll be hard-pressed to have consistent fantasy value. I mean, maybe if both guys go down, right, if Fuller and QT are out, or obviously if Hopkins goes down, I mean, maybe then he can sneak into some relevance. But, you know, just because they have a decent offense and Deshaun Watson under center, but he's probably going to need more than one injury, really, to jump onto the fantasy radar. Obviously a guy that, you know, you're only rostering in the deepest of dynasty leagues.
Yeah, and I think, unfortunately, given how last season panned out in the wide receiver core with Joe Webb ending up at receiver, it's not unreasonable to think it's a possibility that we could lose quite a few receivers, but we can only hope that doesn't happen again this year.
Yeah, no doubt.
So moving on to the very crowded tight end room the Texans have got, it's a tough call to see who's going to get the bulk of the reps at this point in time. I mean, we've got Darren Fells, the veteran, who, as far as we can tell, is going to be primarily a blocker. But then other than him, we've got Jordan Thomas, Jordan Akins, Kahale Waring. We don't really know what they're expecting from the three of them. What are your thoughts on this very mixed bag? And where are there any in particular you would target and where?
Yeah, I think maybe if I'm in a league where you start two tight ends, I'd look at Jordan Thomas. He's my best guess on who's going to be the lead tight end to start the season. You know, he had more catches than Jordan Akins last year, obviously, and they were both mid-round rookies. So I would give him a slight edge right now. I've been catching 20 balls this season, though, so not too much in terms of fantasy relevance. Akins would be probably third in line. You know, I think Waring, the rookie, is the guy that I would keep my eye on in Dynasty for sure. I'd want to hold tight on him just because, you know, he may be the future. But then again, we'll see. I mean, it's wide open. They really have three young guys here. They're turning over the position, and we'll see which one of these guys emerges down the stretch. It's a good Dynasty hold, but, you know, if you're in a normal league where you're drafting 15, 16 guys and it's a 12-team league, you start one tight end, you're not really going to worry about any of these guys. And as you mentioned, the one veteran there, Fells, obviously just a blocker. That guy's nowhere near fantasy relevant.
No, absolutely. But I have to admit, I think Waring is one that, me included, there's a lot of people very excited about him because there's not a lot known of him. He hasn't played a huge amount of football, but he is incredibly athletic, 6'5", big frame, very good catch radius. I mean, he could be very good if given the right amount of reps. So he's going to be someone definitely worth looking at in the years to come. So how about moving on to defense? What are your thoughts on the Texans? Could they be one of the more sought-after units?
Yeah, I think so. They have that core up front, right? I mean, you have J.J. Watt and Jadeveon Clowney, which it seems like he'll stick around. And, of course, Whitney Mercilus up front. I mean, just that trio alone is going to do a significant portion of damage for your defense and even make your secondary look a little bit better. So no doubt they're up there. You know, DJ Reader's obviously strong up front. You have McKinney and Cunningham. And then the additions in the secondary, we'll see. I mean, you just don't know. Bradley Roby wasn't great for Denver last season, but, you know, you bring him in to go with Jonathan Joseph, and then, you know, you don't know with rookies, right?
No.
Especially a cornerback that deal with a lot of injuries. Some are great. Some really struggle early. You've seen the kind of guys, I've noticed that those early round corners with lots of pedigree, maybe the end of their second year is when you start to see them really, really bloom with a few exceptions. So Lonnie Johnson, we'll see. And obviously Aaron Colvin, a big bust last season. Bobby Calhoun from Cleveland, he struggled last season with that reduced workload. So, you know, I do like what they did at safety, though. You know, bringing Gibson, who was a starter for Jacksonville, and Adai, who was a starter for the Chargers, and let those two guys compete for work there with Justin Reed. So it has a lot of potential there in the secondary, especially if Colvin bounces back or Bobby Calhoun bounces back. A lot of bodies, kind of like we talked about with the offensive line. But, you know, with all those that depth and those bodies, those competitions comes risk, too. So it's a tough one to figure out. For now, I'd consider it a little bit below average. But, you know, overall, again, I think this is a pretty solid defense and should be kind of the anchor. You could say the anchor for the team, but honestly, the offense could, if they stay healthy and the O-line's better and Watson's healthy, I mean, they could light the league up this season. This is definitely a team that has a massive, massive ceiling. So I'm intrigued to see what they do.
Absolutely. I think this is one of the teams that a lot of people are definitely going to be watching for this training camp because they have a lot to prove. And like you mentioned, the ceiling is very high. It's just a case of can they sort themselves out in time. So it's going to be very interesting to see what happens there. I have to admit, personally, I think that front seven for the Texans is pretty strong, particularly the linebacker duo of McKinney and Cunningham with Reader in front of them. I really think that three is quite underrated, personally. I think Cunningham in particular, in another year or two, is going to be a very, very solid linebacker. I really like his ability. So overall then, I mean, it's obviously difficult to tell now without training camp and because we haven't seen, obviously, any of Bradley Roby as of yet because of injury problems. Do you think they've done enough or done what they needed to fix this secondary, so to speak?
Well, I think outside of spending huge capital or huge assets to acquire a corner or safety, I think so. You know, maybe you could have made a case to try and get like a Trey Boston on the roster. But again, you bring in Adai and Gibson at safety, and then in secondary, they made three significant additions, really four if you account Crawford, the sixth rounder. So I think, you know, sometimes when you don't want to spend that huge capital on one guy or they're not available, you can just bring in a whole bunch of bodies, a whole bunch of guys that have potential and hope that, you know, at least a few of them pan out. And if that's the case, the secondary is going to be good. So yeah, no major issues with what they did. And I think it could end up being a solid secondary. And again, that may be all you need because as long as they're not getting burned, you know, you're going to have plenty of time there for guys like Watt and Clowney to get the damage done up front.
Absolutely. And I have to admit, one of the interesting talking points that's come out the last couple of weeks, obviously with Brian Gaines, general manager, losing his job, is that people have brought up the possibility of, could they now be a bit more daring when it comes to trades? Could they look to trade in someone like a Trent Williams on that offensive line or a Patrick Peterson at DB? I mean, should they do that? How much do you think that's going to help? Is that going to help the stock of some of these Texans players?
Oh, well, I mean, anytime you can get an all-pro level player, it's going to help. I'm not sure they're in a position to do either. I mean, Peterson's suspended four games, and doesn't sound like they're going to make a move. I'm trying to think of who else could be available. I mean, you mentioned Trent Williams. You know, if he gets cut loose, obviously he went out of Washington. If they can't sort that out, yeah, I mean, if you can bring him in and make him the left tackle, that's great. You know, they obviously, like I said, have a lot of options there. You might have to cut some guys you like at this point if you do that, but obviously they're a team that has Super Bowl aspirations, you would think. The team's built to make a run. So, I could see them potentially making moves. Off the top of my head, I can't think of who else they might be able to trade for at this point. I mean, you know, we're going into July here. Most players are pretty much set on their rosters. But, yeah, maybe at the trade deadline. You know, maybe if they're hanging in there and they have a weak spot, somebody gets hurt, maybe they make a move. So we'll have to see what the new GM does.
What about someone like potentially a Duke Johnson from the Browns at running back? Because they could use a bit more experience and depth back there.
Yeah, that's a good one for sure. Again, it doesn't sound like Cleveland's going to trade him right now, but I'd love that fit. You know, I think I've mentioned Houston on Twitter before as a nice fit. And really, if you move on from Lamar Miller after the season and put, you know, maybe extend Duke. Actually, he got an extension recently. You put Duke Johnson with Foreman, that's a pretty good Thunder and Lightning like punch there. So if there's some serious turmoil there in Cleveland, they're ready to move Duke, that could be a fit for sure.
Absolutely. One of the players I think a lot of people are going to be focusing on is obviously Jadeveon Clowney, who's been franchise tagged. We don't know when we're going to see him. It looks like it's probably going to be week one at the earliest as it stands. Do you think he's going to suffer a lot because of his lack of training camp reps? Because I know a lot of people have made the argument that he really needs to practice in certain areas of his games. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, I'll say this. I'm not sure I necessarily agree that he needs to nail down certain parts of his game. The guy's a star in this league. I mean, he's still only 26, and he's been tearing up the league for a couple of years right now. So I think he is a star. I mean, if you're missing camp and you're a little out of shape, a little slow, that could obviously hurt you. But I don't know that he's the kind of guy that's going to let that happen. So, you know, we'll see how it plays out. But they need him. You know, they need him. They do have enough weak spots on this roster that you take away a star player like Clowney, it's gonna show up. It's gonna cost you. It's gonna put more pressure on the other edge rushers, and they're not really deep at that spot. And it's gonna put certainly some pressure on that secondary, which we just talked about. So it's important to take care of Clowney and get him back on the field.
Absolutely, and ultimately, obviously, it's very early to make this call right now. But I mean, what harm is it going to do at this point in time? Where do you think that you could see the Texans finishing off at the end of the season right now, given how things are looking at this point in time?
Yeah, well, first of all, I disagree. There's always a time to project. So I do this almost year-round. So I have them at 8.5 wins right now. A part of that is the schedule. I have them with the fourth hardest schedule this season. Obviously, the South is pretty darn good. The Colts have taken a big step forward. I have them as a 10-win team. You have the Titans, who are still very good on the defensive side of the ball. They're,
yes,
you know, a 7 or 8 team. And Jacksonville, of course, still loaded on the defensive side of the ball and should have a bit of a quarterback upgrade. So I think they're in that kind of 6 to 7 win range as well. So you put all that together with the rest of their schedule, I think it's really tough. And I think, honestly, it may cost them a playoff spot because, you know, we could talk about their chances of winning that division, and they have a good one. You know, I think they're good enough to potentially win this out. But, you know, if they don't, you have to knock off either the Chiefs or the Chargers or a team like maybe the Steelers, who I still think are, you know, Steelers or Cleveland, whoever doesn't make win that division, you're going to beat one of them as well, not to mention the other teams in your division. So it's going to be a tough road for them. I have them just missing the playoffs this season, but again, I don't think they're far off from getting in, and they're a hard cut, honestly. They're a hard team to not put into the playoffs because of what we talked about. They do have a ton of upside.
I'd have to agree with you. I think for me personally, the team that I particularly find it hard to look past at this point in time in the South is the Colts. I mean, with that monstrous offensive line, with Andrew Luck playing the way he has been, that team does worry me a lot. I think they made some very good additions this offseason, so I'm very curious to see how they're going to do this year. And the Texans are going to have to up their game this year. So obviously, at the end of the day, I like to finish off my podcast by throwing my guests off a little bit with a question that's completely out of the blue. So here's one for you. Which fictional movie-based head coach would you most like to see replace Coach O'Brien, and why?
Oh, man. Well, I don't know that you want to replace Bill O'Brien. I'm a fan. I think he's overachieved quite a bit in recent seasons. Even, man, they went through years with just bad quarterback play, and they were still winning.
Yeah.
It's incredible. But how about old Gordon Bombay from the Mighty Ducks? I mean, maybe he can go in and give a speech to Jadeveon Clowney about, you know, teamwork and chemistry, and maybe get him back on the field sooner rather than later. Maybe give the same another speech to management, get him signed to a long term deal. Who knows? So, I'll throw a curveball and go with a hockey coach in Gordon Bombay.
That's a fantastic call, Mike. Thank you very much for agreeing to speak to us today. Where can our listeners find you on social media?
At Mike Clay NFL on Twitter.
Thank you very much for listening to the podcast today. I've been your host, Anthony Wood. Follow me on Twitter at ARWoodNFL. And of course, keep up to date with everything Texans at the Texans Wire of USA Today. Thank you very much for listening.